in my
soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority of the Word of God. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion beginning September 8th through the 11th. This conference is designed to strengthen you, empower you, equip you, and bless you by focusing on the life-changing power of the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform His Word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans. These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration. You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from His Word. Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion. And now to attend the Word Explosion beginning September 8th through the 11th at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com. Get ready for an explosion of... I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you. The Word Christian Center is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT. Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
But one more thing I know. I know that God is working in me. He ain't just with me. He's working in me. He's working in me. He's working in you. God is at work in you. Say this. Say, God is working in me. Put your name in it. It just do something when you put your own name in it. So say it again. God's working in. Say, He's at work in me now. 24/7, He's working in me. All right, now let me give you some scriptures on this one right here. God is working in me. You got to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult life comes, you know, Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. That means there are going to be things turn out the way you wouldn't expect. That's a part of the tribulation. You're going to have affliction that you didn't plan on. That's a part of being in this world. He said, but be of good cheer, because what? I've overcome the world, and the Amplified says, I overcame it and I conquered it for you. So his victory, because he overcame, then that makes us overcomers, because we are in him, because we're united to him. Amen. Because we share a common life together. Amen. He that that's in the law is one spirit with him. He that's joined to the law is one spirit with him. So you can't separate me and Jesus. We're inseparable. And he's working in me. Amen. Now, let me show you the work that he's doing in you so that you can cooperate with him. So you're not kicking against him. Amen. He with you. He love you. Amen. He's gracious. He wants to supply things to you. But you don't need to be kicking against what he wants to do in your life. So you need to come in agreement. Okay, I'm going to find out how he's working in me, and then I'm going to go with the program. Things just go a lot smoother when you go along with him. So that he's not like trying to tame a wild horse. You know, you can be bucking and not he trying to pull you this way and you trying to pull the other way. That's your flesh. Sometimes the devil won't try to take the reins, but the Holy Spirit has them. And to be meek means that there's power under control. You just let the Lord have his way, and things go a lot smoother. So when he won't go right, you go right. He not wanting to go right, and you wanting to go left. See, that brings a struggle there. Amen. It means progress is going to be slow and hard, difficult. You make things harder if you don't cooperate with him. So you want to cooperate with him. That means you want to understand what the Bible says he wants to do in you. And then you say, okay, that's what you want to do? Then have your way. Go ahead and do that. I'll cooperate. I'll get in agreement with you. And that's what we're going to start working on. And boy, I tell you, you talk about the glory and being in the right place at the right time. I don't have that many scriptures. Don't need that many. Philippians 1:6. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says, and I am convinced, listen to this, this is something he knows now. I am convinced and sure of this very thing. You see here? He's talking about something he knows. Now, did Paul have opposition? Yeah. But you always see him talking about what he's convinced about. You always see him going back to what he knows. Right in the midst of all his trouble, he always go back and tell you, you know, when he was on the boat and they had been lost at sea for 14 days and an angel came and said, Paul, you got to go before Caesar. God's giving you all those that's sailing with you. And then he took charge of the boat and said, sirs, be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, whose I am. You got to know who you belong to. Boy, that's another one right there. That's another feather in your cap right there. You got to know who you belong to. He said, I know who I am and who I serve. That's another one. You got to know who you serve. You got to know who you belong to, and you got to know who you serve. And he said, sirs, I believe God. You got to know who you believe. That it shall be unto me just like it was told me. See, you just believe. It's going to be just like the angel told me. Ain't going to be no deviation. It's going to be just like the word that was given to me. So right in the middle of a life-threatening situation, he went back to the things that he knew. I know who I belong to. I know who I serve. And I know who I believe in. I know where my faith is at. So you got to keep your faith in God. You got to know you serve God, and you got to know that God has taken ownership of you. Paul always went back to what he knew. Here he says, I'm convinced. He said, I know and I'm convinced. For I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will continue until the day of Christ, right up to the time of his return. How long is God going to be working in you? Right up to the time of his return, or right up to the time you die. And then even after you die, he don't stop working in you. Because then there's brand new work taking place. When you die, you go into glory, that new work begun. He don't stop working in it when you die and say, that's it, that's over for them. No, you just enter into another glory. There's work still going on. But he said, I'm convinced that God will be working in me up until the time, because Paul thought Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. That's why he said that. Because he just believed, man, Jesus coming back. He knew he was coming back, but he didn't know the time of his coming because no man know. But you got to live like he coming back in your lifetime. That's the way you're supposed to live. You ain't supposed to live like Jesus coming in 300 years. You're supposed to live your life like you believe he coming in your lifetime. When you do that, you take your calling more serious. If you think, you know, it's like the world, where is his coming? Yeah, y'all been saying that for years, he coming back. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back in my lifetime. It probably 200-300 years before he come back. So they don't have no motivation to serve God at all. But if you really believe Jesus coming back in your lifetime, you won't be playing around with the devil. In fact, the Bible says if you have the hope of his return in your heart, then it purifies you. In other words, there's a purity that takes place in your heart where you just cut off sin. You just don't want to have nothing to do with it, because if you live like he's coming back tomorrow, how would you live? If we knew for sure that Jesus was coming in the morning, how many of y'all be fasting and praying tonight? How many of you would be making it right? Oh, Lord, forgive me for that lie I told. Oh, Lord, I listened to a cuss word the other day. I listened to, forgive me, Jesus. You'd be coming with all kinds of stuff that you'd be repenting of if you thought he was coming back tomorrow. If you was convinced he's coming back, you would live different, wouldn't? Ooh, I got anybody I got any offense with. You'd be on the phone. Hey, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. We don't need to have all this foolishness going on. I'm sorry for my part in the foolishness. Please forgive me. Baby, I love you. I love you with all my heart. Is there anything I can do for you? Nothing too great. You just let me know if I can do anything at all for you, because the Lord coming back in the morning. I want to be right. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Walk in Jerusalem just like John. We just imagine the church really live like he coming. If we really believe that he could come in our lifetime, and he can, he's closer today than he was 50 years ago. We're 50 years closer to his return because he's coming. They didn't believe he's coming the first time, but there was a segment of people who was looking for him. He came. They had discerned the time, said, Messiah coming. That lady that was Samaritan said, we know that Messiah coming. And when he come, he's going to teach us everything. And Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. The one she's waiting on, standing there talking to her. Oh, me and Cece was talking about it going down to New Orleans. We saw them clouds out there, so beautiful. I said, Cece, he coming back on. And the Bible said, every eye going to behold him. And then she said, I wonder if there's going to be a trumpet sound where the whole earth hear that sound. It's supernatural going to happen because they're going to see him everywhere. Everybody going to see him. They're going to look up. Everybody going to be like, whatever you're doing, you're going to stop what you're doing. Where that sound come from? That's him. And us that's in him, we say, hey, Jesus, over here. Oh, Lord, we all be singing, please don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by. Gentle Savior. Praise the Lord. See, Paul lived like he's coming in his lifetime. You got to live like you believe he's coming tomorrow. And it'll keep your actions in check, because you don't want to be found doing something wrong. You know, I don't know how all this judgment stuff going to work. I know I'm in him, but boy, I just don't want to be caught doing wrong when he comes. You know, he see things different than the way we see him. He don't think like we think on this. He have a different mindset than what we got. But when he come, it's going to be 100% in the will of God. Ain't going to be no deviation. Amen? Paul said, I'm convinced that he that began a good, everybody say a good work. What kind of work he doing in you? See, it ain't a bad work. Most people in the world think that God is doing a bad work in the church. They look at the church and it's a bad work. All them people believing in God. They look at it bad. Y'all pray, bad. You go to church, bad. You give your money, bad. You help one another, bad. God's doing a good work in us. Hallelujah. Right up to the time of his return, listen to this, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. So God, if I let him work in me, will be developing me and bringing me to perfection. Now, perfection, that means maturity. That means where I will have understanding of spiritual things and spiritual truth and spiritual reality, which means that as I mature in the Lord, I see things less and less like the world sees them and more like Jesus sees them. How would you like to see things like he sees them? That's the truth. Amen. And the world can laugh at you and scoff at you and talk about you and make fun of you, persecute you, want to strip you of all everything you believe. But I'll tell you what, you stick close to God and he'll be showing you the reality of what's real. And you won't go along with that foolishness. Amen. Look at Philippians 2:13. The Amplified Bible says, not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. That means this ain't coming from you. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. It is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. Say this. God is effectually at work in me even while I'm speaking. Amen. And then the Amplified says, energizing. And creating, he's creating something in me. He's giving life to something in me. He's energized. He's supplying energy. He's supplying strength. And he's creating in me the power and the desire. So when I let God work in me, he's going to supply some power, some strength, and then he's also going to create some desires in me that maybe wasn't there. He created a desire in you. Let me tell you what that desire is. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what God is doing, one of the things that he's working in you, creating a desire in you to please him. Say this, God's working in me, giving me the strength and the power to do what is pleasing to him. So one of the strongest desires in your heart ought to be the desire to please God. The desire to please God has to be one of the weightiest desires in your heart. It have to outweigh everything else. It have to outweigh your desire to please your husband or your wife. It has to outweigh the desire to please your family. It has to outweigh the desire to please your boss. It has to outweigh the desire to please your friend. See, that's how peer pressure come in. Because the desire to please them gets stronger than the desire you have to please your parents. You know, when a child little, they just want to please their mom and daddy. And mama say, I can't do that. I ain't doing it. But as they get older, that pressure begins to work on them. And now their desire to belong, that desire to fit in, that desire to be a part, that desire to be identified with, sometimes gets stronger than the desire to please God or to please the parents. Now catch this one right here now, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Your desire to please God has to be greater than your desire to please yourself. I mean, you know, the desire to please yourself is a strong desire. I mean, how many of y'all want what you want? How many of y'all want it your way? Tell the truth. That flesh don't like to admit that. That's that prideful part of them coming out. But every time people make a decision, they make a decision based on whether I won't do that, whether I desire to do that, whether that's going to please me. And then some people say, let's go do that. And they say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? how this is going to help me, how this is going to please me, how this is going to bring me satisfaction. But when you understand that one work of the Holy Spirit, not all of it, one work and a major work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to work in your heart and to give you the will and the want to do what pleases God. He's creating in you the desire to please God. And every child of God needs that desire in them, big time. Because when that desire is, when you cultivate that desire to please God, and that is the greatest desire in your life, then you will also obey God. See, obedience is the fruit of the desire to please God. How many of y'all see that? When you want to please God more than anything else, you just do what he tell you. Lord, if it please you, I'll do it. All I got to do, no, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Even though I might not want to do it. I might not want to do that, but if that's what you want, I'll do it. I might not want to go there, but if that's what you want, I'll go. I might not want to do that, but if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I might not want to say that, but if you want me to say it, I'll say it. Sometimes the Lord give me something to say to somebody up here. And I say, no, Lord, I don't want to say that. What if I'm wrong? What if I miss it? What if I'm prophesying or giving them a word out of my own heart? Lord, please help me not to do that. So I'll be praying that. Lord, please, don't let me do anything out of my own heart, out of my own soul. If this is not the Holy Spirit, stop me. And then if it just keep getting stronger and stronger in my heart, then I know that God is saying, I want you to do it. Amen. And then I just go ahead and do it, and then the fruit comes. It's good. So what's one of the greatest desires that God's creating in you? The desire to what? Come on, where y'all at? The desire to please him. So you have to cultivate that desire every day. Lord, I just want to please you today. That means that if you really want to please him, then you're going to do what he tell you. He's giving you the power and the desire both to will and to do what's pleasing to him. That was the overwhelming desire in Jesus' heart. So the Holy Spirit is working in us the exact same desire that Jesus walked with and that he lives with. Because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear him saying. And Jesus said, I only desire, my greatest desire is to please him. In fact, he said it this way. He said, I only do those things that please my Father. So he judged everything in his life, everything that came to him. He judged about whether or not it was going to be something pleasing to the Father. If it was pleasing to the Father, he said, I'm doing it. He said, now, if the Father's not delighted in this, if this don't please the Father, I ain't have nothing to do with it. So when you start walking with God and you begin to declare what you already know, then this desire will be created in you much stronger so that your desire to please God is greater than your desire for sin. Sin knock on your door and you know what it's going to cost you to go sin. And you'll say, no, if I do that, I'm going to break fellowship with God. I ain't doing it. I won't please God. I ain't doing that. No. Hey, come on. Come run with us. We finna go here. What they going to be doing over there? Well, they're just going to be drinking and stuff, but you ain't got to drink. No, the Father just not pleased with that. I don't want to do that. No, that's all right. Y'all go here. I ain't going. Why? Because you have a desire to please God that is greater than anything else in your life. Come over here. I just want to tell you, by the Spirit of God, that he's doing a good work in you. And you don't say a lot, but you are very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Lord showed me that you are taking all of this in and letting it abide. And you are judging this word you get by experiences that you're faced with, and you're seeing how you need to handle certain things. Can I tell the truth? Is that happening to you? Don't lie. Just tell the truth. That's what's happening in me. Yeah. because God's doing something really deep in you, or really there's going to be a strong, strong desire in you to please God. And because of that, that's going to set you apart from some of your friends. And when they begin to pull on you, that desire that God gave you is going to restrain you. Don't be ashamed. And don't be intimidated by your friends. You be the light bearer. You be the one to set the example. Not in your own strength. Because when you stand up for God and what's right in you, following your own convictions and not the convictions of somebody else, then it will be the strength of the Lord that give you the strength to stand, and you will not, let me say it this way, you will never stand alone. You'll have somebody standing with you that they can't see, but you won't be by yourself. So don't let the devil try to trick your mind and say, oh, all by yourself, huh? Ain't got no friends now, huh? Mm-hmm. See what all that God getting you, following you? See what he's getting you? Don't listen to him. Because you will never stand alone. He will be with you. And he will supply to you the strength to make some tough decisions. But the thing that's going to take you over is your desire to please him. So work on that every day. Lord, I just want to please you today. And just tell him, I just want to please you today. Just do that. And he's working in you. Scripture tells us he's working in you that desire. So cooperate with him. And you say, Lord, create that desire in me. I just want to please you. Make it bigger. And it'll grow so big on you that you will obey God and you will see many, many glorious things in your life. Amen? I just wanted to share that with you. Okay? You got it? All right. Now, God singled her out. But that's for everybody. He just wants you to know he's with you. He just wants you to know, I see you. I notice you. I'm with you. You're not by yourself. But that's for everybody. You see, our desire to please God has to be greater than any other desire. Amen. Now, going back to what I know he's working in me. But one of the main things he's doing, one of the major works he's doing in me, is creating in me that desire to please him. He's working in me a desire to do what is pleasing in his sight. So you got to cooperate with that. Let me share one more scripture with you. And then we're going to be through for the night. How many of y'all got this? You're going to focus on what you know, and then you're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because he's working in you, creating a desire in you to please God. All right, in Hebrews 13. Verse 20, there are many more scriptures. Maybe we'll cover some of them next week. But this is where I feel leading right here to stop. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's a lot said right there in those little scriptures right there, in those few scriptures. Listen to what the Amplified says. Now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. See, he's your shepherd. How did he do it? By the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, the covenant, the testament. May he strengthen, complete, and perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with every good that you may carry out his will.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your